Y'all can have a seat. Praise God. Thank you for coming today. If you did not get a listening guide, please raise your hand because there's some very important information in there. One of them has a key to a brand new car, so if you didn't get one, praise God. Hands are going up like crazy. Give me another one, man. Praise God. Oh, boy. This is beautiful. Praise God. This is beautiful. Let's open up with a word of prayer. Thank you, Father, so much for this opportunity to ask for your presence to fill this place, Lord. That hope would rain down in each one of our hearts, Father, that we would understand what mercy and grace and forgiveness are, Father, because that's so important in this time and this generation, Father. We need forgiveness for the sins that we've committed, Father, and you've paid the price for those sins, Father. And we know that, and we spend the rest of our lives worshiping you and thanking you. Your word says that you're seeking those who would want your spirit and your truth to be told and said and lived out, Father. And we want to do that here, Father. We want to be a place that wants nothing else but for your truth to reign. Reign in everything we do, in every class that we have, in every service we have, every worship time, every prayer time, every time we get to hear your word, Father. And I pray that as your word comes forth today, Lord, that it would be magnified by your Holy Spirit into our hearts, into our souls, that we will not think of the word religion, that we would not even think of anything else but you, Father, because you are the author and finisher of our faith. You're the one that endured the cross and despised the shame and now sits at the right hand throne of God. You're the one that moves upon our hearts. You're the one that knocks on the door of our hearts. You're the one that can change and mold us, Father, and forgive us, Father. Father, help us to realize that you are there. Every one of us realize that you are there, that you want to have a relationship with us, Father, and that you want to reign in our lives, Father. And if we can understand what it means to deny ourselves and pick up the cross and follow you, then we'll understand hope. Then we'll understand peace. Then we'll understand forgiveness, Father, even in the midst of trials and tribulations, Father. And I just give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. There's a song I've been hearing, the last couple months. It was on Colton Dixon's first CD, and then this guy, J.J. Weeks, I believe he's the one that wrote the song. And the lyrics go like this: take away the melodies, take away the songs I sing, take away all the lights and all the songs you let me write. Does the man I am today say the words you need me to say? That's beautiful. You imagine writing lyrics like that? Let them see you in me. Let them hear you when I speak. Let them feel you when I sing. Let them see you. Let them see you in me. The next verse is, who am I without your grace? Another smile, another face, another breath, a grain of sand passing away through your hand. I'd give my life an offering. Take it all. Take everything. With every breath I breathe, I sing a simple melody, but I pray that they hear more than a song. In me, let them see you in me. This is the last Sunday of 2014. I mean, for some of you, it might have been a blessed year. For some of you, it might have been a hard year. It might have been a year of trials and tribulations. And as Christians, beware, because we have those times. We have times of trials and tribulations because he's pruning us. He's teaching us what it means to live for him. He's teaching us to what it means to sacrifice. I mean, you look at soldiers, you know, defending our faith or defending this nation around the world. They understand sacrifice. They understand what it means to give of their lives. We see Christians all around the world being sacrificed and being killed and slaughtered every day. And I don't mean to use those words on a church family Sunday, but it's true. But thinking about the new year and the message entitled Ready, Set, Go, in your listening guide, there's a sheet in there that says 2015 goals. I want you to take that out because it's very important. Because I love the end of the year and I love the beginning of the year because you can start planning out. I'm not going to eat all those M&M peanuts this year. I'm not going to do that. I mean, you have goals in your life. So I ask these questions. What is your plan for growing closer to God this year? You got to have a plan. You got to have a plan in order to grow closer to God this year. I don't care whether you're in first grade or, you know, you're 70-some years old, 80, I don't know. Praise God. What steps do you think you need to do to complete your plan? Because you have to have a goal in your mind. You have to realize that God has a plan for you. You know, Jeremiah 29:11, He has a plan for you, not to harm you, but to give you a hope and a future. And He has a purpose for your life. And what steps do you think you need to do to complete your plan? And we as a church, we have steps planned out for you. You know, we call it, you know, in the back of your listening guide today, we have a vision for you. We have a mission. We have a process. So we have the steps for you to do. It's just whether you want to choose to do it with your church family or not. It's up to you whether you want to be a part of what God is doing here. Then I asked this question, how would you rate these things concerning your own Christian walk? Prayer, fellowship, worship, Bible study, giving, serving, being a part of a community group. I ask you to rate those things. Then I ask you, out of those categories, which one is your strongest? Which one do you need to improve on the most? Oh, boy. It's almost like I got to be able to let it. You know, this might be Italian coming up out. I don't know, but I feel like he wants me to share with you, we're not going to play around here, man. This place is not to play around. This place is not to just show up and check a box that you came to church. We want to make a difference in this generation. We want to make a difference in this community. We want God to make a difference in your life so you can understand. When you sing these songs that the team sang today, when you hear those words, they're truth. They're truth. We should want nothing else but His presence in our life. We should want nothing else but this place to be filled. I mean, this week, I'm going to have to take 50 chairs and stick them back in the shed. That kills me every year. That kills me. Because sometimes I think, God, am I doing what you want me to do? Because this place should be filled with people. But then I realize He's telling me, Nick, you lead them. You live it out before them. You get the word inside of you and tell them to wake up. That the world is dying, that people are being slaughtered and killed for the name of Christ, and we're too comfortable here. We're too comfortable. You are on this earth to continue the mission that Jesus left for you. Matthew 28:19 starts out by saying, go and make disciples of all nations. But you can't do that on your own, and you're not expected to. We need each other. We need to be a family that's so tight, that's so ready to pray for one another and reach out to our neighbors. God tells us to work together with the Christians He has placed in our lives. What? To bring His healing, His transformation in the life of this world. His plan of redemption involves the church working in unity to reach the people around us. We can't be comfortable, man. We have to be sincere in our faith and ready. And when I talk about inside the church, this means we devote ourselves to the members of our church body. We have a responsibility to challenge one another, to love one another, and to serve one another in a variety of ways. And He'll show us those ways. He'll show us those ways. It's just whether you want to decide to do that or not. Every member, everybody that walks in this door, we want them to take this seriously because that's what it makes for a healthy church. And when the church functions as God intended, the results are nothing short of miraculous. In your listening, God, I put the church becomes a place of healing, a picture of how God wants humanity to live. I'm going to tell you something today. Next year, I don't want to put those 50 chairs back. I want to buy some more chairs. I want to put an extra row in here because we are going to have a church family that wants nothing else but to see the gospel leave this place and to just flow out into the neighborhoods. Ephesians 4:15-16 says this, instead, speaking the truth in love, because this is what it's going to take. Speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. The vision stated in those verses, those two verses just read, goes beyond the people in our church body. It goes beyond our church family here. We don't love and serve Christians around us solely to maintain healthy churches. God's plan is bigger than that. It involves reaching out to the whole world. His plan of redemption will not be completed if we're satisfied with those who are already in the inside. An inwardly focused church is an unhealthy church. It's a dying church. Basically, a church that fails to look at the world around it is really no church at all. You might as well just call it a country club. And if you want to join a country club church, you're not going to learn much. You're not going to fulfill the mandate God has for you. And this journey, this whole journey that I'm speaking about, really falling on this day, has been this whole year. This whole year. It seems like the Holy Spirit was speaking to me that in every series of messages this year, the rest of this past year, we need to start to connect our church family with one another in different areas around our neighborhoods. He's telling me to teach you and to encourage our family to reach out to others in our neighborhoods and workplaces with the gospel and invite them to join us here at this building or in our homes for community groups. And since that calling in my life, that the Spirit pouring into my life in the beginning of the year, I've just been praying and listening and watching and listening to the elders and people that God has put in my path, the staff, you know, to start this endeavor God has called us on, to start this movement of God. And when you look at the scriptures and you think about the big picture, we're starting to fulfill the mandate of God. So I ask these questions. How are we going to reach out to the lost? How are we going to reach out to the surrounding neighborhoods with the good news of Jesus Christ? Doesn't the Bible mandate us to do that? Doesn't it commission us to go and make disciples? And then the last question I have for you is kind of like the answer to all the questions I just gave you. And the question is, God group? God group. This is an acrostic whose letters stand for the principles of forming a community group which honors God and helps people get connected to grow in their faith. And when you think about this acrostic, G stands for guided by a leader. Because if you don't have a leader in a community group, if you don't have a leader who's passionate about reaching your neighbors for Christ and pouring into the people God has put in their community group, it's not going to happen. Leading a group of people to move beyond salvation. Because really, Sunday morning is what that's all about. We're supposed to come and celebrate God. We're supposed to give the gospel. And we're supposed to ask people, do you want to see Christ in your life? Not about what church they did or what they did growing up or what they heard about. Do they want to ask God to forgive them of their sins and come to a saving knowledge of having Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? To move past spiritual growth, forward to serving and then to strategic serving. It's not an easy task. Leadership is not about what you can do for me, but it's rather what I can do for you. It begins with a heart that asks the question, how can I help you grow and become more like Christ? And when a community group leader understands that, they understand that process and he or she is in the business of true spiritual leadership. In order for a community group to be successful, the leader of the group needs to view their role as drawing out the new creation of God that God has in mind for every individual in the group. So G is guided by a leader. The R stands for regular meeting times. If you could get together every week, it'd be fantastic. But every week is just as good. If you're meeting monthly, it's probably not a good idea. Because a person could miss one meeting and you wouldn't see him for 2 months. The more you meet, the more you can adequately lead the group members God has given you so that they will trust that you'll care for them and protect them. The O part is opening God's Word. That's the O part in group. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing as far as the division of the soul and the spirit, both of joints and marrow, and able to judge in thoughts and intentions of the heart. Among the many things that a community group will do when they meet together is they must take the responsibility to get into the Word, to open up the Word of life. The Bible has the power to change people's lives from the inside out. Romans 12:2, do not conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you'll be able to prove what the will of God is, which is good and acceptable and perfect. Studying and applying the Word of God has the power to change us from what we are into what God has in mind for us. That's what the Bible does for us. The U stands for united in love. John 13:34-35, a new command I give you, that you love one another even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. It's right there, the book of Acts, Acts 2, day by day, continually with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. They were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. There's nowhere in the Bible where it says they had to take chairs out and put them away in a shed. There's no place in the Bible that says that. They were adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. And we got to understand what it means to sacrifice to meet the needs of others, to show God's true love. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And the group part, the P, stands for praying for one another. Praying for one another is what separates Christ-centered community group from a civic club. People get together in public places, settings all around the country every day. The church has got to be different. What separates the church from the secular groups is the spiritual content, which is the Word of God, and the spiritual encouragement, which is prayer. Something amazing happens every time you ask someone the question, "What can I pray for you?" It's equally amazing what happens when two or three more people are gathered together to agree on something and begin to petition our Heavenly Father. Matthew 18:19 says, "Again, I say to you that if two or three agree on earth about anything they may ask, it shall be done. For by them my Father who is in heaven." Don't ever underestimate the power of a community group prayer when you meet together. So I'll ask you again, God group, in your listening guide, there's a green sheet in there. If you want to be a part of a community group, please put your name and address in there and turn that in today when we take our offering so that we know that. Praise God. Matthew 5:14-16, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. We live in a midst of a threatening environment, but we need to be more like a lighthouse than a bomb shelter. We are not called to hide from trouble, but to guide others through it. That's what the church is about. We cannot fulfill our mission here unless we serve one another in love. But living together in a tight-knit circle is not our ultimate goal either. Because it's easy to get comfortable and have a group of people that you're going to spend the rest of your life with, you know, four or five or six couples, and all you do is pour into each other. I'm telling you, God's Word does not share that. God's Word does not tell us that. God's Word says we're supposed to be continually reaching out and snatching people out of fires of hell. Because we're all born into this world with a sin nature. And until we receive Christ and ask Him to forgive us of our sins, we are going to hell. So if you get together with four or five group you know, couples and families and do nothing else for the rest of your life but spend your life with that family, you're not doing the will of God. You're not doing what God mandated you to do. Praise God. God has placed our church, Community Christian Fellowship, in the midst of a broader community so that He can spread His love, His hope, His healing into the lives of people around you, through you, through us. Matthew 22, 9 and 10 says, go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find. So the servants went out to the streets and gathered all the people they could find, the bad as well as the good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. They probably had to add chairs. They probably had to go out in the shed and bring chairs in. I mean, this is, the Bible is serious. It's intentional. It's supposed to change our lives. I could sit up here and do a stand-up. I can be funny. I don't want to be funny. I can sit here and say, hey, man, the Bible sold less than Frozen during Christmas. You know, I looked up the statistic. 1 million Bibles were sold during Christmas, and 25 million objects that had Frozen on it was sold. That's funny, man. Nobody laughed. Praise God. I truly feel that God cares about the way we love each other and the way we pursue His mission. The church is a group of redeemed people that live and serve together in such a way that their lives and communities are transformed. Transformation will happen if we choose to gather, grow, and go. Transformation is going to happen if we choose to open up our homes and invite our neighbors and live the life God has called us to live before them. What matters is your interaction with the people God has placed in your life. And I saw families come in Christmas Eve. I saw neighbors coming in with family. I thought, praise God. Praise God. If you're not connected with other Christians, serving and being served, challenged and being challenged, and you're not living as He desires, and the church is not functioning as He intended. Bearing one another's burdens is not easy, but it's also not optional. We have to face the challenge head on. A church full of isolated individuals feeling defeated by their sin and stripped of their joy was never God's plan for the church. Jesus intended for His church to advance powerfully through the centuries full of love and joy. Jesus was clear when He said, I will build My church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. If the church is going to fulfill God-given mission in a modern world, then we're going to have to take our responsibility to one another more seriously. The band wants to come forward. We will have to accept His call to bear one another's burdens. Even when it's messy, even when we find ourselves over our heads, believe me, I'm over my head. The goal of this church is to grow up in every way into the likeness of Christ. But the church will never reach this goal unless each part is working properly. This doesn't mean that we're all going to function exactly in the same way, but it does mean we all have a responsibility. And I put this in your listening guide. It also means that if you're not active in the church, you're hurting your brothers and sisters. Until you and every person in our church are actively ministering to people around you, your area will not have an accurate picture of what this church was created to be. When we learn to step outside of ourselves, bearing one of the burdens of people around us, it's time-consuming, it's messy, and often confusing, but it's necessary. A couple more statements. Helping people change is what discipleship is all about. As we help other Christians follow Jesus, we're going to run into temptations. We're going to run into lies. We're going to run into idols that hold us back. It will be difficult to do this, but know that Jesus has accomplished it. And we know how the story ends. We have a part to play. This church has a part to play in God's plan of redemption. It won't always be fun, but we must be faithful to God's calling. on the back of your listening guide, I wrote out our vision. The elder said, I want you to spend a month talking about our vision. And I feel like I've done that, our mission, our process, our touches, and our values. The ushers, if you could come forward. Is there a girl named Penelope Faith in this room? Just checking, man. Praise God. Praise God. This is the last offering of the year. This is it. Praise God. Thank you, Father, for all of our church family, Father, who understands giving from your perspective, from what your word teaches us about giving, Father. Thank you for pouring on their hearts, Father, because that's what makes this place run, Father. So, Father, I ask you to bless this last offering of the year, Father. I ask you to bless those who give, Father. Father, I pray like the prophet Malachi prayed, that you would open up the windows of heaven and bless those, Father, who give, Father. Bless those who sacrifice, Lord. That you would pour your love and your mercy out on all of us, Father. As we take this offering today, as we spend these last few moments in prayer, as we ask people to give, as we ask people to come forward to so we can lift them up and lift their needs up, because that's what families do. They pray for each other. They live the life among each other. They reach out to each other. They challenge one another. They grab a hold of people and tell them when they're going down the wrong path. We have to help each other stay on that narrow path, Father, because that's where life comes from. That's where hope comes from. That's where peace comes from. Father, I pray as we offer up the rest of this service to pray for Penelope Faith, to pray for Shirley Farringer, and to pray for other people who have needs, Lord. We pray as we, after we give, that we just stand and focus and come forward and allow the Spirit of God to speak through those prayer warriors that are going to lay their hand on their shoulder and pray for them. And it might be healing, it might be for salvation, it might be for a job, it might be for a relationship. But Father, we're here together as a family, Lord, to proclaim the name of Christ, knowing that He is the author and finisher of our faith, knowing that through Him comes healing, through Him comes redemption, through Him comes restoration. Through Him comes redemption, Father, and I thank you for that, Lord. And I give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
Lord, I come.